This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
The 18.
But that intro music can only mean one thing. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you here on a Thursday afternoon at Gillette Stadium, PFW in progress, as we approach the Cincinnati Bengals against the New England Patriots on Sunday afternoon. Another 4 o'clock game. Not exactly thrilled with that, but should be a good matchup. I'm looking forward to catching the Bengals and their high-powered offense, obviously led by Carson Palmer. And one player in particular, Andy Hart, Chad Johnson, as entertaining on and off the field as there is in the National Football League. He had a lot of fun yesterday with the Patriots, and you know, we talked about that on our show. Well, the Patriots had a chance to answer back today, and the most surprising candidate to do the answering back emerged from the Patriots, and that was none other than Bill Belichick.
He was tremendous. I've never seen that side of him, I don't think. The smile. Well, he started out just saying, you know, smile.
What did he say?
Yeah.
First, he
like he didn't know what he said.
He was asked about the comments. We should preface the whole thing.
Right. He was asked about him.
What comments were those?
John Tomasi basically reads him back, you know, lists the different comments, going to knock 37's head off, going to tip Asani Samuel upside down, and goes through the list of them. Bill kind of smiled. And basically what you take from it is he's entertained by Chad Johnson. He finds... He referenced when he worked him out coming out of college in at USC's campus, and he said he drove on campus with one of those magnetic Oregon State flags on his car, and you know, he said that's just kind of Chad being Chad. He's got a personality, clearly backs it up on the field also, as we were just discussing off the air. I think that's part of it. They respect him as a player. And the way he handles the trash talking, it's all in good fun. Even Bill can see that. Even Mr. Bulletin Board and can, you know, even Rodney Harrison, you know, spoke later in the locker room. They all see these are people that can be irritated by the smallest little thing that an opponent might say, and they clearly find the humor in it. And what did Bill say? Someone said, you know, will you fight back? You know, will you respond?
We could talk like that. He started off first, you know, as Andy just said, and just want to read a couple of the things that Bill did actually say. You know, initially he said, Chad's a good guy. He's an entertaining kid. Sounds like he was having some fun, poking some fun at us. And he went on, and he's just saying, you know, that's just Chad. He's not even being serious.
Right.
So that was like, and it was all of this was with a big smile on his face, just like Andy said. It was a side of Bill that we rarely see. And he's, you know, he made a comment, something along the lines of, you know, we could talk back and do the same thing. We could fire back the same way.
And every reporter in the room said, go ahead.
Well, this is your opportunity to do so. We'd love that. And I think to a man, every one of us had something to say. And his comment was, we cover him one-on-one all the time, except for that he pushes off more than any receiver in the league. We wouldn't have to worry about him if he could get open without having to push off or something like that.
And basically
that.
Said, and the refs let him get away with it, he must have paid them off.
Yeah. He had a couple of lines like that. And by no means was Bill being serious and diminishing Chad Johnson anyway. I want to stress that.
Right. And then he said, we could double team over the top, but he couldn't get open anyway or something.
Right.
Like,
so
he kept just throwing little barbs.
Right. And he had that little smirk on his face that he was very proud of.
That lasted, by the way,
David
into
Letterman
the next
smirk.
And it lasted into the next question. I think Tony Maserati followed up with a serious question, and Bill still had the smirk on his face from, you know, that all proud, I just had a little fun out here.
You remember, like, they weren't kept abreast of the situation.
Right.
He had that little smirk on his face after the Carolina Super Bowl in Houston.
But this was funnier.
This wasn't
so staged.
Yeah, it wasn't as prepackaged.
I have a theory
about Belichick that he's nuts. Is he nuts?
Yes, a little bit.
He's out there.
But then, as I said, obviously Rodney Harrison responded in the locker room. Huge crowd, and I was unfortunately kind of at the rear of it. Couldn't hear everything. Again, smiled, said, you know, that's just Chad being Chad. I'm amused by him. He used the phrase.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
In terms of actually responding, you know, Johnson went down and listed the DBs, and 37 tell him I'm going to knock his head off. He said, Rodney said that he couldn't knock the helmet off of a mosquito, and then said, I promise you this, if he knocks my helmet off, I'll retire. And laughed about it, went a few more, talked about how he was, you know, somebody brought up that Johnson said that Harrison was the original old school trash talker, and Rodney said, yeah, back in my San Diego days, back in the day, I talked a lot, I don't do it so much anymore, he's kind of taken over from my lead and run with it, but... Again, to a man, they were smiling. They found it funny. There's no contentious air about it. It's all in good fun.
So that's basically where we're going here with this first hour. Again, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo will be with you until 1 o'clock, at which time we'll be joined by Tom and Fred to do our Around the League NFL picks on Thursdays now. Remember, a slight change to our schedule. We do those picks on Thursdays now. So you get the opportunity on Friday to listen to the possibility of Mike Felger when
Boring.
He does his show on ESPN Radio. He has some interviews here on Fridays. So, again, Chad Johnson, highly entertaining guy. I mean, I could listen to this guy, and I'm interested to see what some of the other listeners think about this. Webradio at Patriots.com. Let us know. Are you offended by Chad Johnson? Are you entertained by him? Do you dislike this guy? Do you put him in the category with T.O. and some of the more outrageous guys, Freddie Mitchell, maybe Joey Porter, you know, some of the guys that are known for running their mouth? Or are you just flat-out entertained by this guy? Webradio at Patriots.com. I think Andy and I are in 100% agreement here. We're highly entertained by him.
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert. How about I
That's tremendous. That's a new addition to Gary's soundbites. I was just trying to think. I am very much entertained by Gary's soundbites and Chad Johnson. But I was trying to think of another guy who pulls it off the way Chad Johnson does and is so entertaining.
Dan Klecko.
Nope. And entertains his opponents in the same way. And nobody really comes to mind. You know, and I'm trying to think in all sports, of a guy, you know, the only guy that I can kind of think of is Shaq, who is entertaining, sometimes takes shots at the other team, but I don't even think Shaqs are received in the entertaining manner that Chad Johnson's are. So I guess he might be unique in all of sports. I really can't think of anyone that does it like he does.
You know, generally the loudmouth guys usually kind of bother me. But this guy never really has. I've never found him to be
you,
offensive.
Bill Belichick.
Well, I think Bill is more entertained by that stuff than you would lead to believe. But I also don't think that, you know, one interesting part of that, if there was one serious avenue that could have gone down, it was kind of broached but not really targeted. What would Bill be like with Chad Johnson on his team?
I think he'd be fine.
Now, I think he would be, too, but I think he'd also need a couple of rolls of duct tape.
I have no idea.
Well, because I don't think that he would like that every week coming out.
Not every week. First of all, I don't think they would prop him up and really have him doing the conference call with the opposing media every week. They would limit that a little bit. But I think Rodney, to some degree, Roosevelt, you know, there's guys on this team that talk, say, Mike Vrabel, your boy, has been known to pop off about different things. So I think Bill doesn't necessarily have a huge problem with it. If it's good-natured, if it's kind of within the realm of team football, and, you know, some of the things he said, you know, other comments Johnson made about, you know, how they were basically triple-teaming him for the Steelers, and all he needed was popcorn and sit back and watch 84 have fun on the other side of the field. I think that's the kind of stuff Bill would have no problem with. And even this week, I don't think he'd have good-natured, I don't think he'd have problems with it. As long as he showed up every week, made plays, you know, didn't take away from the team focus first.
I think that's the interesting part of it. You just kind of touched on, Andy, is it's one thing to just go out and say, I'm going to do this, I'm the best that. But he is entertaining. And say, like, just the way he said, look, they were taking me away. They had me covered. So I just sat over and I watched TJ. I watched 84 put on a show. I got some popcorn. No, he's entertaining as he talks about this. You know, a lot of guys, you know, and I think the T.O. might be one of them. You know, they would be not only they would be upset if they didn't get the ball thrown their way. And there's no doubt that Chad Johnson's probably not happy that he only caught one ball, even though they won.
Well, he admitted it.
He admitted it took every power of his being to not necessarily say anything. But at the same time, I think he recognized the fact, okay, the other guy was doing the job, and we won. We did get to the goal. He might not have been thrilled.
Right. I think he's the ultimate, he can handle it the right way as long as they're winning.
Right.
I think he's a very emotional guy, and if it reached the point where they lose a couple games in a row and he's being taken away and it's not leading to wins, I think he could pop off and become a problem, because I think by nature he's just naturally emotional in all directions, highs, lows, everything. And I think that could become a problem. You know, I've seen, I don't know if it was behind, you know, an NFL Films type thing on him, but he's one of those guys that is a little bit of a politician. I saw they had a lot of footage of him, like, in Paul Brown Stadium. He sleeps over sometimes, and he's always friendly with the cleaning people and the secretaries and all the various different people that work there. And to a man, everybody loves him. You know, I know he got a little bit of a bad rap last year in the situation at halftime when Carson Palmer went down. But again, I think that falls in line with he's just an emotional guy. And if you can, to some degree, focus those emotions for him or help him focus those emotions, I think he's a positive for a football team.
Again, you can send your comments, your thoughts to us here on this Bengals game, on Chad Johnson, on Bill Belichick, or whatever else you have in mind. Webradio@patriots.com. Andy and I are here to answer your questions until about 1 o'clock or so, and at which time Fred and Tom will come down and we'll go to the picks. I bring this up, Andy, because we have an urgent question in need of answer from Christina in Moncton, New Brunswick.
Hey.
During the Super Bowl in January, relax, she's spoken for.
How do you know?
I'm going to read.
Oh.
During the Super Bowl in January, my Patriots fanatic fiancé made a drunken promise that if the Patriots win the next Super Bowl, he would take me to Disney World. I have never been to Disney and have spent most of my life waiting for a chance. So first question, should I start packing my bags now and pick out which Disney resort Jeff will be paying for, or should I just keep wishing on a star? And second question, Jeff, the fiancé, is now saying that because it was a drunken promise, it doesn't count. Apparently, boring Super Bowls make for promises that are meant to be broken.
I think Jeff's safe. I don't think Jeff will be booking any trips to Disney World anytime soon.
She's hot, too.
Yeah, I would, you know, look, it's three games. You know, a lot can happen in the next 13 games to change our minds. Right now, I have to agree with Andy. Based on three games, I don't see the Patriots as being a Super Bowl team. But I don't really see teams out there that I look at and I say, wow, they're a lot better than the Patriots. I don't really see that. I think the Patriots are in a group of probably about 8 teams, 10 teams right now that are finding their way. They're at the top, you know, top third of the league, maybe the top, you know, quarter of the league, whatever you want to call it. And they're finding their way. I didn't look at Denver, for example, on Sunday night as much as I thought Denver, you know, pretty much outplayed the Patriots for 60 minutes. I didn't look at them as being a lot better than the Patriots. I don't know how you feel.
No, I don't even think they're a top handful type football team. I just, you know, they looked good in certain aspects of the game. I think Bill, you know, touched on it today with their linebackers are one of the fastest groups in the NFL. They were very impressive. But I think that's a team that has some holes, and you don't say, you know what, they're just stacked across the board. I don't see anybody that can hang with them. I don't see any team like that right now. Maybe the best team is Seattle. But Sean Alexander's banged up now.
What do you think of that? We should probably talk about that. Did you see this story?
I don't know.
He cracked a bone in his foot.
And he's then prayed
to be
and
out
better?
For 3 to 4 weeks. He says he's fine because God healed him and he's ready to play.
He's cuckoo.
Well, but what happens? You can kind of make light of it and make a joke out of it.
I will.
But I think it could potentially be a problem in Seattle because obviously the medical people can't think that his bone is healed.
Right.
So they're going to not want him to play. What if he gets mad? What if he really wants to play?
Yeah, I don't. I don't know anything about Sean Alexander, really, in terms
of... He's out there.
His off-the-field kind of attitudes, but if he gets... If a doctor tells him, I'm sorry, I know you have faith, but the x-ray says that bone's still not healed and you need to take X number of weeks off, then he'd have to be a colossal jerk, I think, to want to get out there.
Well, I mean, I agree, but I think it's a situation...
Plus,
that I think it could be contentious.
Yeah, I don't know. But as I said, I think they're one of the better teams in football.
Oh, I do too. I think Seattle's pretty good.
But there's going to be teams, we see the Bucks and the Panthers are on our TV here in the studio right now. There's going to be teams that are down with, that are 1-2 right now or teams that are kind of at the lower end of the standings that by the end of the season are going to be some of the best teams in football probably. And maybe a team like a 2-1 Patriots is going to be one of the best teams in football. There's going to be some turnover. Last year was the perfect example with the Steelers. At one point they're fighting to make the playoffs, then all of a sudden they get hot and they're winning all these games on the road, and they're your Super Bowl champions. So, you certainly can't count any teams out at this point in the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm going to move on.
But I think that bet is safe for the fiancé.
Yeah, I do too.
No offense,
Christina. Think that you might be at least a year away. I don't even know if Jeff's already trying to renege on the promise now. So I doubt that holds true for the future. I think it's this next Super Bowl. So I think you're in trouble.
More importantly,
I give him 6 months.
The fact that he's trying to back out of it, dump that loser.
Yeah, dump him. Just the tip of the iceberg. Dump him.
What did Vanilla Ice say in that movie? Drop that zero and get with a hero.
What movie could you possibly have seen?
He made a movie.
Vanilla Ice in it?
Cool as ice.
Wasn't that the line, drop that zero and get with a hero?
I learned more disturbing things about you by the day.
You've never seen that?
No, God, no.
It wasn't very good.
I'm the king of bad movies, too.
Ooh, if you're the king of bad movies, you need to see that one. Would qualify.
You may have.
Ramen is next up. He's in Turlock, California.
Noodles?
I think it might be. Hey, guys. I see what you're doing there. Hey, guys. Tough loss.
Ice, ice, baby.
But it's only one game. We got to move on to next week. To the Andy Hart approach. It's only one game. We got to move on to next week.
Which game? Denver?
You're always looking at it rationally.
I think I'm a very rational person.
Do you see the sarcasm there?
But it's not appropriate because I am a very rational person.
I want to give you guys my take on why the passing game is struggling right now, and I'd like all of your thoughts on it. What Brady and his receiving corps are having to do right now during the regular season is what 31 other teams do during minicamp and training camp. Think about it. Not only did he lose his top two wide receivers, but he also lost number 3 and 4. Take that away from any great quarterback today or even in the past, they're going to go through tough times, especially this early in the season. Things should get better in time, especially when Gabriel and Chad Jackson will be out. Will be our number 1 and 2 receivers, and Troy will be in the slot. Thanks for your great work.
Yeah, I think that's what pretty much everyone's been saying, is that the passing game is in a growing phase right now, an adjustment period. I talked about it the other day a lot, that I don't think it's as obvious as you put the blame in any one area on any one person. It's the receiver, it's the quarterback, it's whatever, it's frustration, it's setting in, it's this, it's that. I think the passing game can be such a fine, fine-tuned area of a football game that if a guy is literally off by a half a second, it changes the whole play. It's just not the same. And, we talked about, I tend to think that some of the throws we've seen Brady make that we go, oh, that was a bad throw, that's off, was part of that. And you can't prove it because I don't know exactly where the guy's supposed to be and how the timing, all that. But I think there's such a fine difference between the guy being where he's supposed to be and Brady being able to deliver the ball at the exact second and that not happening.
I agree, and I also would throw in that you know, look, I don't think the passing game has been particularly sharp in the first 3 weeks. I don't think that's any secret. But I also don't think that the passing game was at the top of the list of problems Sunday night.
Right.
I think that the fact that they couldn't run the ball at all was concerning. I think the fact that they really didn't stop Denver from running the ball much is concerning. I think the fact that they continue to allow third downs is concerning. I think the fact that they allowed big plays in the secondary, again, is concerning. A lot of these things aren't the result of a lack of timing and a lack of familiarity with the personnel. So those things kind of get a higher level of concern on my, you know, concernal meter.
I just think it's so laughable, and I know he wasn't doing this, but there's kind of been a group that's turned on Tom Brady, that he's not playing well, he needs to play better. I just think if you start pointing the finger at Tom Brady, he's the most proven guy on this roster, or one of them. Right. You know, it's like pointing the finger at Troy Brown and saying, you know, he's the problem. No, he's proven to me that he can be part of the success. So I'm not ready to turn on Tom Brady after 3 weeks.
The passing game continues to get the attention here with the emails, though, Andy. Mensa is next up. He would like to know if Corey Bradford, who was just released by the Detroit Lions, is a good player and that you think he can help the Patriots. I am constantly suggesting names that I hope could be of help for our team. I suggested Randy Moss, but you guys do not think that can happen. I honestly do not know how good this Corey Bradford is. I am just throwing his name out there to see if you guys think he can help ease some of the frustration from the face of Tom Brady. You could see it on his face because I think he did not have any good wide receivers to throw to. I am not saying the receivers we have now are not that good, but they seem lost in Sunday night's game. It also seems to me that this has finally caught up with Coach Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli. I think gone are the days that they think they could bring in just anybody in from the street and plug them into their system. I think it is about time they start spending some of their salary cap money and utilize some of the draft picks. What do you guys think? That's Mensa from the Bronx.
I don't know much about Corey Bradford, but I just don't think the answer is bringing another guy in right now. I think the answer is getting him acclimated with Doug Gabriel and Chad Jackson. I think the most important guy is Chad Jackson. He needs to be on the field. Whatever it was, whether it's injury, not injury, whatever it was that kept him from being on the field last week has to be fixed. He needs to be on the football field. I've already seen from him that he can be a contributor to this offense. And I think whatever it was that kept Doug Gabriel from being a part of the entire game plan last week, that needs to be fixed as well. I think if those two...
I asked some questions about that today and got absolutely nothing.
I think if those two were on the field to start the game, I'd feel far better about the passing game. I'm not going to say it's suddenly all the timing's there and it's perfect and we're back to Branch and Givens and all that, but I don't think bringing in a Corey Bradford or any name you could probably find on the street is the answer because now we need another month to get that guy ready to play.
Yeah, Tom and I actually talked about that yesterday, more so with Randy. You know, obviously Randy Moss is a gifted talent. That was what Mensa suggested yesterday. But that was our larger point was bringing someone in at this point, you're taking steps backward. You're trying to get caught up right now, and then he's starting back from square one. No matter how talented the guy is, he's not going to be as far along as even the guys that you have. So that more so that if they have injuries and you have to bring someone in, that's different. Then you have no alternative. But right now, I take my alternative would be Chad Jackson. I think you're absolutely right, Andy. I think he's the most important guy. If he can come back and be healthy and ready to go and productive, I think that could ease a lot of the fears. Steve is next up, and he says, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Tom, I still believe. I said in my email last week that I still believe the Pats are going to Super Bowl 41. In Miami, and we are going
XLI,
to fourth,
what's that mean?
And we are going to win a fourth championship in 6 years. After listening to PFW since the Broncos game, you guys seem to believe the wheels have fallen off the Pats wagon big time. Boy, do you guys ever bend with the prevailing wind? When we win, you guys are getting aboard the Pats skyrocket for a journey to the moon, and when we lose, it's all falling apart and the dynasty is over.
Not accurate.
That's
well, maybe for Fred.
Quite inaccurate, because I think they've played poorly for three games.
Actually,
nothing to do with losing.
Let me fix that. That's actually Fred and Tom that do that quite often. And I think Paul and I, if anything, could be accused of holding back more than anything else and being a little bit, as Fred said yesterday in a meeting for our new TV show, Andy's the glasses always half empty guy.
Right.
And I think that's to some degree accurate.
A lot of the emailers tend to think that Andy and I are a little bit negative, but whatever.
And I've already said that... I'm not packing it in this season.
I think there's still a good team.
Tuesday, the entire day arguing that we're where we thought we were going to be at this point in the season. I mean, this is where you expected to be. You thought the passing game would struggle. You thought there were two very good teams in Denver and Cincinnati that were going to challenge you. You might be 2-2 after you face those two games. How you improve from there is going to, you know, be the difference in your season. And the other factor I've told
you. I'm more worried about the first two games than I am about the
Denver game. But it's all to me how they build from those games. You know, you may have gotten lucky, right, and you may have been lucky to win them and fortunate that you went 2-0, but it's all how you build from them. But more importantly, I've kind of discussed the theory that this week, to me, is a huge week, not just for this season, but in sort of how I look at this team as a whole, because I really feel like this game this week, going into Cincinnati, a game they probably on paper shouldn't win, a game against a very good football team that, you know, provides matchups that don't necessarily benefit the Patriots side of things. I think this is where, in the Super Bowl era, those types of runs, they surprise you and they put together a tremendous game, and Rodney Harrison uses a rallying cry that no one thinks we can go into Cincinnati and win, and I think they really would come out and surprise you. Even if they lose, maybe they surprise you and really, really hang tough and take it to the Bengals. If they don't do that, if they struggle, if they get blown out, which the Bengals have the ability to blow anyone out on any given Sunday, if that happens, I kind of think you might be in a transition period here of eras and say, you know what, those Super Bowl teams 3-4, maybe we're a different team now. Maybe the turnover is too great and it's a different, not that they can't be successful, but that it's a different locker room, it's a different era, it's a different team in general. And we'll find out on Sunday.
Steve's email continues, even after the Broncos game, I still believe we are going to Miami. Just read the Q&A session with Junior Seau on Patriots.com today, and this will give you an insight as to why I think we are going to win. If the 52 other guys in the roster have anything like the commitment of Junior, then just who is going to stop us? I know, because none of the other teams have any commitment. My only concern is our secondary, which at the start of the season looked quite deep, and now it is just starting to show signs of trouble ahead. If there is any cap space unused, I think we should sign a top-notch safety and corner right now. If there are no free agents out there, we should be prepared to trade using one of our high picks from next year's draft. What do you think? Get on board, guys. The Pats Express is leaving the station, and we are on the way to Miami. That's Steve in London, England.
Top-notch safeties are available at this time?
Right. I mean, that's the thing, Steve. There's not top-notch talent available right now. And I do share some of your concerns. Matter of fact, Andy's writing an in-depth expose about the safety position for the next issue. Seems there's some cracks there, almost like a state of flux a little bit. Or even though it's early in the season, you have Artrell Hawkins has missed a couple of games. Eugene Wilson had to come out of the game early the other night, is on the injured list as questionable. Rodney Harrison missed some time, obviously dealing with a major injury. Hasn't been the Rodney Harrison of old. That we're accustomed to. James Sanders, forced into action, was the focal point of a couple of plays. Just a little bit of flux there.
Yeah, but I don't think the answer is going out and trying to bring somebody in.
No, you saw the caliber of guys you're working out, Ray Mickens.
But even beyond that, if I could get a guy that I thought was that much better than what I have, I think defensively for this team it would be even harder to come in than offensively.
Yeah.
Because I think to some degree offensively, a lot of teams run similar patterns. You can bring a receiver in, and yes, it's going to take him a few weeks to learn the system, the timing, the verbiage, but I think to some degree you could come in and contribute. I think defensively to try to come in and learn this team's defense on the fly, and I know guys have done it. I mean, Artrell Hawkins, a safety, would be the perfect example of a guy who came in and all of a sudden is starting and, you know, being given credit for solidifying, you know, the safety position and helping, you know, manage the defense back there. But I think it's a very, very difficult task, and I think he's the exception and not the rule.
I'm going to move on to Gary. Gary's in Syracuse, not our Gary. Because our Gary doesn't care enough about the show to actually participate in it. So anyway, Gary in Syracuse.
Have you heard any drop-ins today? You must be playing games in there.
Go yourselves.
There you go. Now, that's a good drop-in. That's what I'm looking for.
What games you got on the screen in there?
Nothing.
You're talking like the guy in Fat Albert. Have a Harvey Eva.
Gary says, I don't know if you guys remember, but last week I asked a question about the Pats' record against the AFC West Conference and how I thought it wasn't very good. My question is, do you guys know of a place where you could see the history of the Patriots' record against each team in the NFL? Andy, why don't you grab the Patriots Media Guide, and we can do the AFC West teams at least for Gary.
You can check him out on DaveDudek.com.
Gary's other question is this. I'm the biggest Brady fan, but as a Patriots fan, I thought when we lost receivers one by one this year, I said, well, Brady made them good, and when they go to another team, they won't be as good. But to the receiver's credit, Branch, Givens, and others, maybe it was more of a two-way street than I thought. Maybe they made Brady look pretty good, too. What do you guys think? Yeah, I think that's generally the case. There's always two ways of looking at these kinds of situations. Clearly, Brady is, in my opinion, the focal point of the Patriots offense, and he's a better quarterback than, in my opinion, than what Givens and Branch are as receivers. But at the same time, those guys are pretty talented, and you can't just snap your fingers and recreate. And Andy had the perfect way of putting it earlier in the show. That timing, it just can't come out of nowhere. Do we not have a media guy?
We have all the other teams except the Patriots.
Wow.
Gary dropping the ball again for Gary.
All right, well, I think you could look. I mean, the Patriots media guide has that. I think if you poked around on Patriots.com and looked at some of the history sections, I would imagine, Gary, that you should be able to find the records against all the teams in the NFL.
Can you believe we don't have a Patriots media guide in here?
No, I can't believe there's not one in here, but it must be. Someone must have stolen it.
That is accurate.
WEEI 850 AM Sports Radio. It says it right on my little mic flag in front of me.
This is from Wes. He says,
"You're making my point.
Please discuss."
Did he eat it?
Are you listening?
Oh, what?
Please discuss the following topic as posted on the Cold Hard Football Facts website.
Stupid.
Quote, football fib. New England's big problems lie with the offense. Daddy's pigskin wisdom. The Patriots offense certainly isn't going to win any beauty pageants this season, but the team's defensive futility has quietly flown under the radar. New England ranks 26th in defensive passer rating. They've allowed a 94.0 passer rating. 28th in third down conversion percentage. Opponents have converted 46.7, something that Andy and I mentioned right at the top of the show as being a much bigger concern than the passing game. And dead last with just one takeaway in three games. The defensive passer rating figure is especially dreadful considering the quarterbacks the Patriots have faced so far this season. The jittery J.P. Lossman, the glass-shouldered Chad Pennington, and the erratic Jake Plummer, who was on the proverbial hot seat before shredding the inept New England pass defense for 256 yards and two back-breaking TDs. That's from Cold Hard Football Facts, and that was sent in thanks to Wesley in Noonan, Georgia.
Well, I agree with it. I don't think it's necessarily flown under the radar. What the hell was that?
That's Caddyshack.
I think there's been a lot of talk over the last week or two about big plays hurting them defensively, the inability to turn the ball over, the inability on third down. I think there's
poor tackling in the secondary.
Poor tackling, which has led to
some of the
all of those different things in some parts. So, yeah, I agree with it. You know, I don't know what it is because you don't say, well, they're missing X, Y, and Z necessarily. They have talented players at all three levels, or supposedly talented players that they wanted to be there. They just haven't made plays. And I think part of it, Chad Scott kind of brought this up when I was talking to him about it yesterday. Part of it is the fact they just don't have enough people around the football. It's not simply the fact that they're not forcing fumbles, they're not picking passes off, or they're not making the tackles. There's too many guys left on an island. There's not enough team pursuit. You know, three or four guys at the ball when it either is caught or when the guy breaks around the corner. And it's hard to make big plays, make tackles all the time, if there's not a lot of guys there. It just makes it that much more difficult, puts that much more pressure on individual guys to make plays. And it's just not the kind of defense that succeeds. I mean, if you look at defenses that are successful, generally it's ball hawking. They're flying to the football. There's three, four guys at the football at the end of every single play. And they don't have that right now. They are in, and I wrote about this for my commentary in the next issue, they're in a drought in terms of turnovers.
It's amazing.
Not this year.
It really is amazing.
It dates back to last year when they set a franchise low in takeaways.
In 2003, they had 29 interceptions they made. And, you know, they're to the point now, I think they had 10 last year. I mean,
10.
That's an amazing drop-off in
tied
2 years.
For a franchise low.
2003 to 2005, you went from 29 to 10.
And you'll read this in my commentary, all the numbers just show you, you turn the ball over, you're going to win football games, you're going to go to Super Bowls.
In a lot of ways, the Patriots were the aberration last year in being a playoff
second
team.
Second time
and
in their
bad
history where they made the playoffs with a minus turnover ratio. The only other one was the 78 team.
Some of the Chad Johnson emails are coming in now, Andy.
Good.
So Josh in Jacksonville. First and foremost, I have to say that Tom sucks at reading emails. I was going to write in yesterday, but I didn't want to wait 5 minutes for him to finish reading my email.
Wow.
But at least Tom puts in the effort to at least try to read them anyway.
Fred just goes,
Fred just skips them. Anyway.
Usually it's like one word. Right. Like the guy will write off instead of, or of instead
says,
of off.
He says, you can't write English.
It's unreadable.
Whatever you be doobie that.
Anyway, I think
you'd think
Chad,
a guy who can't speak would be able to read things that aren't written well.
Josh thinks that Chad Johnson is one of the best in the game. He brings a lot of excitement to football. Nobody can really compare to his entertainment value. He jokes in a very serious and not so serious way, and when he talks trash, he backs it up 100%. I think I am safe to say that I am very scared of him this Sunday.
As you should be.
Yeah, that's how Andy and I kind of feel about the whole Chad Johnson situation. That was a great dunk, by the way, in that Saints game. The guy that picked up the blocked punt on Monday night, the guy who scooped up the block, I think it was Deloach maybe, had the blocked punt and did the reverse dunk over the crossbar. It's good stuff, even though it was fixed. What do we got there? James in Roanoke Rapids. Nice. Andy, I didn't even tell you. 3 phone calls yesterday for the show.
Tremendous.
James.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on,
James?
Those emails you say you keep getting those misspellings sounds like mine.
No, you're one of the Hall of Famers, James. You know, even Fred couldn't find fault with your emails.
Yeah, usually I do make a couple of typographical errors or something like that.
Don't we all?
Well, the reason I'm calling, I thought I'd give y'all a little encouragement for this week. I just happened to realize, since the 2002 season, the Patriots haven't lost back-to-back games.
That's correct.
Yeah, that might be in trouble this week.
It's always the first time for everything.
Game 14 and 15 of the 2002 season, December, I want to say, 10th and 17th, or something in that nature, somewhere along those lines. Last time the Patriots lost back-to-back games, they lost on a Monday night to Tennessee, and then a Sunday night at home to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time. That's the only time Tom Brady's ever lost back-to-back games in his career, I believe.
Yeah, and another thing is that on the other side.
No, that's not true.
Though,
that's not true. It's the last time he lost back-to-back games. Let me correct that.
Yeah. On the other side of it, though, that's the lowest point total the Patriots had since the Buffalo debacle started the 2003 season.
Yeah. That wasn't a lot prettier on Sunday night, James. I'll tell you that. It wasn't a very pretty game to watch or cover or do anything. And the fans were dead as a doornail in the stands, and wasn't a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I was a little disgusted with it. I just think the Patriots have something Denver has over the Patriots. It just seems like every time they have a game plan, it seems to work to perfection.
Yeah, it does.
It certainly did Sunday night, and that's what the players in the Broncos locker room were talking about. Shanahan gave them something to do on Saturday night, and they went out on Sunday night, and it worked exactly the way they had talked about it in their game plan meetings. Sometimes the other team, you know, like they always use those cliches, the players, you know, the other team gets paid too. Mike Shanahan's a very good coach, just like Bill Belichick is.
Yeah, but like I said, that also might help the Denver players because they know usually when they come in and play the Patriots, they usually do a good job or they have good play or something like that, and they never seem to have a bad game against the Patriots.
Yeah, and usually that's the kind of thing the advantages the Patriots have with coaching, and you know they figure Bill Belichick tells them X, Y, and Z. If they do that, it'll unfold the way he says, and they'll win. And they have an extreme confidence. Oh, we always get to play when we need it, and that's sort of what they've been lacking a little bit this season. But you gave us the reasons. You know, why we might have reason to believe the Patriots can win this week. You know, they haven't lost 2 in a row for whatever it is, 3 years plus. Do you believe they can win this week in Cincinnati, and why?
I believe they can. If the offense picks up a little bit, see what happened was the defense really didn't do all that bad. They just had some blown plays in that where they didn't quite tackle like they should or weren't in the right position and stuff. So they had the big plays against them.
Right, big plays have hurt them for 2 weeks in a row now, and unfortunately you're going up against a big play offense that can make anybody look foolish, not only a team that's struggling in that area.
But if they can hold the Bengals down, I'm going to get my mind from Mike. The Bengals down, then the offense gets on track, then maybe they have a chance to, you know, outscore them.
If they get blown out this week, what would your reaction be? Will you be packing it in and saying, you know what, they're just not good enough, or do you think it's still early enough?
I think it's early enough because last year they were about the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
They were 2-1. They hadn't played real well on either side of the ball. They had a weak team, and the Raiders come in town, and they beat up on them. Then they went and got their tails handed it to them by the Panthers.
Carolina, yep.
And then they got up for the Steelers game, and really, you know, that really hurt them because they got a lot of the players hurt by that game. And then they come back and got blown out by San Diego.
So give us a score before we let you go. What are you predicting for this week?
Patriots 24-17.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week and see if you're right.
Okay.
All right,
James. Have a good day.
Good stuff. Look, I can definitely envision a scenario, by the way, that the Patriots can win this game. I can see them very similar to the Colts games in the playoffs, where the Patriots offense plays a great game, and that in turn allows the defense to rest and not have that Cincinnati offense out there for nearly as long, especially the first playoff game. I think it was 2003, the AFC Championship game here. I thought that was the case. The other game against the Colts, I just thought that the Patriots defense completely dominated the Colts offense.
I can see a scenario where the Patriots could win, but as I told Mike Reese when we were talking about it in the press conference, I just don't see how anybody can pick the Patriots to win.
Right.
You know, I think everybody can honestly say they could win, but I don't think there's anybody on earth who would say, you know what, I think there's a 51% chance or better that the Patriots win this game.
When Fred comes down here in about an hour to make his pick for the Patriots game, he's going to say, I'm going to go with an upset, and for once I won't make fun of him for actually claiming it would be an upset, because I think it would be an upset if the Patriots win this game. Josh, another back-to-back Josh is here, though, Andy. Josh is in Arlington, Virginia. He says, Charles Barkley had some highly entertaining moments, but I don't think anyone pulls it off quite like Chad Johnson, and honestly, I find it very entertaining. No harm as far as I can tell. It's especially harmless considering that he usually shoots it at the guys he knows very well. The checklist got a little out of hand a year or two ago, and Marvin Lewis handled that. His story is also a great one, a pretty good example for kids and for mentors in terms of helping kids to keep out of trouble. He says, P.S., glad you liked my rant on Tuesday. I was a little furious at the end of the game and when I sent it, but I tried to keep it sensible. I don't really remember what Josh's rant was about, but I'm glad that you guys were all mean to me and stuff, so I'm glad that we got a positive email. Tom, we did get someone. Tom Casale is down enjoying a little pre-picks snack. We did get someone who was criticizing your inability to read emails.
Look at that douchebag.
Can't please everyone all the time, right?
Well, I'm sure as that person is sitting on their couch in their underwear eating ho-hos. Just
you know, a guy who can barely be heard through his snacks.
He's got a mouthful of pretzels
that have 1 gram of fat in them, Andy.
And I'd rather have the ho-hos.
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert. Help Arby Yeeber.
All right, next up is an interesting name here. It's Pratt Pie. Not so sure what that's supposed to mean, but...
Pratt Pie?
I am a Washingtonian emailing you guys because I hate the Redskins and I love the Pats. They are the only team, to me, who epitomizes what a team is all about. Regardless of who we've lost in the offseason, I honestly think this new team, including the wide receivers, has a chance to shine. The only thing that really concerns me is the injuries. Injuries killed us last year on defense, and I know it is unavoidable, but I continue to believe that Belichick and Pioli are making the best decisions in order to get the best team out on the field. Tom Brady, hands down, is the best quarterback in the league, but he totally deserves 0% criticism because he has been put in an adjustment position where he has a whole new crew of receivers. I will be coming to Boston in November to attend the Colts game, and I don't expect a clear victory, but perhaps a secondary that is more in tune with each other, and Brady should be clicking with his receivers, Gabriel, Chad Jackson, Troy, Caldwell. Even Patrick Pass might be activated by then. Do you guys see the Pats losing as badly as they did to the Broncos in Week 9 against the Colts at home? Please let me know what your feelings are on this, and thanks for doing a great job of keeping us all informed.
Are we going to, like, keep waiting, like, till, like, December for Rashay Caldwell to learn the offense?
Yeah,
come on.
I'm not sure the Rashay Caldwell bandwagon should be all that full. I think he is what he is. Maybe he can contribute as a 3. But as I said earlier, I think Chad Jackson's the key. If they think they're going to get the passing game going, it starts with number 17.
Hey, do you guys think that this Ellis Hobbs thing is a Belichick-type thing? Because Chad Johnson, someone mentioned that he goes after the guys he knows, but he kind of gave Ellis Hobbs a dig, saying, I don't even know that guy. He knows who Ellis Hobbs is. He watches film about 10 hours a day. He knows exactly who Ellis Hobbs is.
Right, but I think he.
I don't think
he knows. He's
him
never
personally.
Spoken
no,
to them.
No, but
ever.
He knows what. I'm thinking that he's the one guy that he might be able to get to talk back. You know what I mean? Like Ellis Hobbs has a. He might know that Ellis has a little mouth on him, and he hasn't been in the locker room. Was he there later on today?
I didn't see him today.
I saw him today.
Oh, you did?
I didn't see him talking to anybody, but I did see him.
Never saw him.
I just wonder if they got the muzzle on him this week because they don't want him to say anything.
Oh, there's
stupid.
A good possibility of that, but I don't necessarily. The other part of it with Chad Johnson, I think what I kind of agree with Andy. I think that he obviously has a personal relationship with Rodney and with Asante Samuel that he probably doesn't have with Ellis Hobbs.
Right, but I think he also does this to get under some people's skin, and maybe on game day he starts yapping it up with Hobbs.
Oh, he'll be yapping with Hobbs.
Off his
oh, on the field, I definitely expect him to be yapping up with anybody within earshot.
Well, that's what
he'll
I just
be yapping
mean,
it up with us if we could hear him.
Just that's what I mean. Just by the I don't even know who that guy is. Kind of like, I'll see you on Sunday.
Andy Christina chimes back in. And says, thanks for the opinion, guys. Maybe I'll plan a Disney bachelorette party with Aladdin and the gang. I totally dig Vanilla Ice, by the way.
Nice.
I'll still keep Jeff, though. He's still a diehard fan, and who else could have introduced me to the Patriots like he did? I now have my own Brady figure that lets me adore all of his assets, even on a Wednesday night.
She's hot, too.
Okay.
I don't know what that
all
means.
All right, Christina. All right. What you do in your own time, that's up to you.
I still say ditch him.
Yeah, he's definitely looking to get out. He wants to get out the cheap way, too.
I told her to drop the zero and get with a hero.
let's see, who's next up? Tony, after the TO hypermedia freakout, the Bengals criminal lineup, and all the selfish, whiny prima donna players, I think the NFL needs more Chad Johnsons. Good, clean sportsmanship, fun. Remember when football was fun? Enough with the contract disputes and the malcontents. Good to see BB lightening it up. Think the whole team, as well as some fans, could use the same. One question, will we be able to run the ball this weekend, keep up the good work, a suburban malcontent stuck in Jersey?
Better hope he can run it.
What do you think? You think we'll be able to run the ball this week?
Yes.
Unless they fall behind.
I was
right.
going to say, the only key here
I mean, I don't know if it'll be enough to run the ball
behind.
To win, but
I think
they'll be better than last week. I think you'll be closer to weeks one and two than you were to last week.
Yeah,
I think they'll run for a good average. The key is what Tom says.
Their
as long as they don't
there.
Fall behind and they can continue to run the ball, I think they'll be fine.
Their nightmare is it being 21-0 early in the second quarter. That's a Patriot nightmare right there, because then it's pretty much game set.
And that's what Bill described today. You know, the Bengals score, then they force a turnover on you, score again. All of a sudden they put up 14 or 17 points in the course of a minute 30. And I told you guys, I love the way the Bengals play, and they did it against Pittsburgh.
Just go right
get
back.
The ball, end zone.
Boom, boom.
Get it, end zone. I love that.
14 points in 58 seconds or something.
As
like
Kyle
that.
Passetti would say, kill shot.
All right.
Well, if you have the weapons, you might as well use them. You know, there's no sense of having weapons and then running the ball three times and kicking the field goal.
And it's why I think the Bengals are dangerous, because I don't think they have any fear. I don't think they... You know, I know Carson Palmer has tried to reel them in a little and say, you know, it's only a regular season win, all that. But I think in general, they just ride the high, they got an edge, and they're going to go for
and
it.
And we mentioned that last year during the playoffs, that was probably the team that the Patriots didn't want to see, because they kind of had that edge over the Colts, even though the Colts beat them earlier in the year. But the Bengals, they don't have any fear about them. They just,
right.
they'll take on anyone, and, you know, you're right. I think they do play that way.
All right, there's a few more emails here, and I want to get to them in the last 8 minutes or so before we move on to the picks as Tom and Fred work their way in. Mike is next up. Since we have already started down the road of psychoanalyzing the team, i.e. Brady's body language, it's kind of hard to say.
Brady's body language?
Yeah, you know. Let me ask something that is just as ridiculous and see if you think there is anything to it. I have noticed that Bill Belichick is about the only coach I can think of whose players almost universally refer to him by his last name. To me, this is weird and seems disrespectful. What say you?
I've never given it 1 second.
I haven't either. Although, just to kind of tie it in, somebody said, Belichick said to Rodney Harrison today, and Rodney goes, whoa, that's Mr. Belichick to you. I don't know where that all ties into this one, but it made me laugh. No, I don't.
I also haven't noticed them calling him exclusively Belichick.
No, I've heard him call
I've
him
heard
Bill,
him say
and
Bill,
I've
Bill,
heard
and
Coach.
I've heard Brady say Belichick sometimes, but...
Ooh, so he is angry.
No, not this year. It was last year.
Yeah, I
don't personally think of it as a disrespectful term, to be honest with you. I mean, it's the guy's name. I don't think Buckley.
I think people probably call Parcells Parcells.
You can definitely say, that just the way Andy just said Buckley, you can say a guy's last name and mean it disrespectfully.
I can say Paul.
Right.
That's how I say it, I say.
It's like a dismissive kind of tone. You know, Fred would be great at this. It's too bad Fred's taking this last 5 minutes.
His theory is, I'm not supposed to be on the first hour, so I'm not going to talk in the first hour.
Right.
He's sitting in his big chair like he's ruling the world.
He does a big
leather chair under a TV.
All I can see is his head.
Dave is in Rocky Hill, Connecticut.
Actually standing.
One of the serious problems with this team is the lack of creating turnovers. Why can't they create turnovers anymore? And what is up with Eugene Wilson? I thought he was a playmaking safety. Were his first 2 years a mirage? Andy? You're the king of the safeties.
I'm going to have to go with, yeah, they were a mirage. I was full-fledged on that Eugene Wilson bandwagon. He was picking balls off, picking up fumbles, laying hits, getting fined. And then all of a sudden he stopped doing all of those things seemingly all at once. And I don't know what happened. I know last year we made the excuse he lost Rodney Harrison next to him, wasn't quite ready to step up, wasn't ready to be Batman, was, you know, comfortable in his Robin role. Well, now Harrison's back, admittedly not to the level he was at, but at some point you have to say, can Eugene play? Can he just help you and make plays on his own regardless of who's lined up? And he hasn't really shown the ability to do that this year.
Yeah, and I think he's had a couple of opportunities with, you know, in terms of that turnover thing that we were talking about, and he hasn't really capitalized. So,
but he's not the only one. If you want to go to turnovers, it's the whole team. The whole team has not capitalized. You know, the Tully Banta, Kane, Roosevelt, Colvin, a couple guys have had chances at strip sacks. You know, different guys have had chances to make plays. Sonny Samuel had a chance at a pick. You got to take advantage of those, and I truly believe those things are contagious. And I think if you can get a few of them, all of a sudden you get handfuls of them.
I definitely agree with that. We're going to have Mr. Liff is going to finish us off here in our first hour.
How do you spell that?
L-I-F. He is the Boston area musician that we have been written about. Someone was telling us that we have greatness in our presence.
And he sent in a song for Gary?
Let's see. He says, fellas, there are many key players that are no longer with this team, but I can't help but feel like Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel are the two toughest losses. The problems seem bigger than lack of execution. There is something missing in the heart and soul of this team since those two left.
Dan Klecko.
Do you guys think that Belichick wins championships without them? Who were his assistant coaches when he was in Cleveland?
Ferentz, Pat Hill,
yeah, the heck of
Nick
staff
Saban.
It's an interesting
Schwartzy.
It's an interesting point, you know, and I think it's kind of funny. I think Bill Belichick's a great coach, just like I used to, you know, kind of.
What's he ever won without Romeo Crennel?
I used to bristle at the notion that Bill Parcells is somehow not a very good coach because he had a good assistant coach.
What's
in Belichick.
He ever won without Bill Belichick?
Right. Well, I think that those kinds of things are somewhat silly. I think that
it's funny. So now I'm giving Belichick credit for Parcells' Super Bowls, but Crennel credit for Belichick's Super Bowls.
He's right. 0-3 in Cleveland.
Yeah, and he can't win a game.
Right. You know.
Maybe nobody's a good head coach. It's all about having good assistants.
Yeah, you have to have good staffs.
But I definitely feel like those losses were still important and are still being felt in my mind.
Go to San Francisco and ask Frank Gore and Alex Smith how good a coach North Turner is. Then go to the places where he was actually a head coach and then ask them. You have to put together a good staff all around. And
so are we saying that a good staff is more important than a good head coach?
I think the coach directs the staff.
I think you need it. I mean, if you just have a good staff, but you have a bad head coach, I don't think that's good.
Yeah, look at Mike Martz. Maybe he had a good staff. Well, who'll ever know?
I don't think that's good. I think you need it all. I mean, I think one of the biggest strengths of the Patriots in that run was not just Belichick, but the staff. The staff as a whole, and you know, a lot of those
staff
guys are
too
gone.
Young now.
I'm not saying it's too young, but maybe it's just not quite good enough.
But I'm asking,
I don't know.
Is it too young?
Maybe.
Is it too much internal thought that's just all Belichick and regurgitated ideas that come from within the system and not enough just flat-out football thinking that involves a base of knowledge from elsewhere?
I don't have the answer to that specifically, but I also could say maybe is it too young based on what they're asked to do? Maybe maybe their lack of experience might be okay if they had a more experienced roster, or if they didn't have as much turnover as they've had in the last 2 years. You know, in other words, if they had Branch and Givens on the wide receivers, might the offensive coordinator not look inexperienced? Because the offense would miss. Right. I don't think anybody
there's
was.
No question. Talent covers up a lot of ills.
Right. You know, when you were throwing the ball for 4,100 yards last year, I didn't hear a lot of people criticizing Josh McDaniels for his play calling.
Right. But Charlie Weiss succeeded with some questionable talent.
No, there's no question. I'm not saying that Josh McDaniels is as good as Charlie Weiss. I'm saying.
What are you saying?
I'm not saying that that McDaniels isn't ready because he's too young. That's what I'm saying. I mean, last year
he wasn't
too young last
out.
Year, so I'm not saying he's too young this year. Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's
but I'm
all.
Saying is the staff in general. I wasn't singling out McDaniels. I'm saying in general, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, young guys that are they over their head?
But that's really the only two guys.
Right.
Because everybody else was here as
well. And then you have some other guys that are not necessarily.
Like Brian
Daboll's
a young guy, but he was here for the success.
Right. But he might be leaned upon more now.
That could
because
be.
Because of the
not quite ready
insufficiencies
for that
insufficiencies elsewhere. Or Joel Collier, who, is it Joe or Joel?
No, he's a pretty experienced guy.
Joel. All on offense, though. Now he's a defensive backs coach. Defensive backfield has struggled.
Well, that's
is there
true.
A lack of fundamental experience in the coaches in a variety of roles that is hurting this team?
I don't have the answer to that question.
Okay, good.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
I asked the question. I don't have to answer it.
All right.
I don't think there is physical, especially in the secondary.
Now, does that
not
have to do
close.
With the coaching? Or is that
I don't know. It might be players. But I'm just saying that when I used to watch the Patriots on TV, that secondary was physical.
No question.
They hit you. You know, they were all over you. There was three guys around a guy who caught the ball. Now I just see receivers running freely through the secondary.
No question. And the guys are the same. Eugene Wilson, Asante Samuel, and Rodney Harrison used to lay people out left and right. I believe they were all fined at different times for just knocking receivers' heads off. And that was kind of their M.O., physical secondary. They're not that anymore. And it's the same guys. And only one of them can you say, oh, he's coming back from major injury and he's old. The other two are the same guys. They should be, if anything, they should be better now because they've evolved and should be able to take more of the load, and they haven't. Why is that, Paul?
I don't know, but I'm going to move on to the last email with Phil because he just sent it in. Phil is in Austin. He's one of our favorites. So
one of our regulars from Houston.
He says, I thought it was interesting to hear Chad Johnson talk about how Rodney Harrison spends a lot of time talking to him before each game. I can't remember any other names, but it seems like that Harrison has a similar relationship with other players in the league.
Dan Fico.
Despite the fact that Rodney is a trash talker and something of a cheap shot artist, he still seems to have the respect of a lot of players around the league. I think he's going to make a great coach. On HBO last night, Dan Marino picked the Patriots, a team he's been pretty biased against in the past. He said that the Steelers were able to run a lot on the Bengals, and he thought the Patriots would be able to do the same thing.
I should mention that the Steelers lost at home.
It's true.
All right, we're going to have that be the end of the first hour. We'll be back with the whole gang to make our NFL picks.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It'll be signed, Richard Seymour.
This autograph print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, My hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
What are you going to do, Stan?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or, like, Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a freaking idiot?
All right. Welcome back to PFW in progress. Guys, put your headphones on. It's time to go to work.
I'm not the one that was just taking a nap.
Who?
You.
I wasn't on air then. You're on air now. Get to work.
He didn't say you were on air. He just said you were taking
all time. Right. Time to go around the NFL with Fred, Andy, Tom, and Paul.
Me, Fred Kirsch.
We're doing this, you know.
What are we doing? The picks?
This guy over here, he's unbelievable.
We're on radio. No one knows which guy you're talking about.
Andy Hart. You're pointing to someone, but we're on radio.
Hey, where'd you get those shoes? What Goodwill bin did you pick those out of?
Goodwill. These are nice shoes. Well, they were nice shoes. Now they're worn out.
Okay.
That was a random shot back.
Thursdays, we go around the NFL now.
GQ over here.
We go around the NFL now.
It's not complete without a stain in the middle of his chest.
Before we go to this week's picks, what happened?
Hair hanging over the top.
Well, Fred, not surprisingly, your stay at the top was a short-lived one.
what did I win this week, though? Oh, that's right. You owe me a sandwich.
You know what? Yes, I was thinking about it. I don't think I'm going to pay you. 9-7. You got a field goal late to win the Cleveland game. You got that fixed game Monday night. I just think I proved my point. I'll give you half a sub.
So he'll give you half a check this week.
I'm gonna, you know,
just so you know, he controls where you live and what you make.
I'll give you a sub, but you know I was right.
As much static as I give Fred. Fred won the bet. He went 8-6, so he did not go below 500.
That's right.
See, you know I was right.
Tom, you lost.
He won on a lucky field goal and a game that was fixed.
I know, Fred.
I don't care.
He's the league insider. He's at those meetings when they plan who's going
to
win games.
You made the bet.
I know how this works. I once put $5,000 on a football game. I know the win or loss of a bet. So I'll give you your sub. It was more than once.
Yeah. Never learned?
So I'll give you the sub, but you know I was right. I said you were
right.
A fraud. I said you were nothing. I said you'll finish in last place, and all those things I still believe.
Tom, do bookies take bets they know
not
you,
that I'm
you,
doing
you
much
can't
better.
Pay? If a bookie had a strong feeling that you couldn't pay, and he's going to have to try to collect,
yeah,
and,
they
still take him?
Yeah, okay. Hoping to get half the money.
Okay.
Anyway, just quick recap. Andy won the week at 10-4. I was next at 9-5.
Oh, God, I am the winner.
Fred and Tom, 8-6. So for all the talking that Tom did, he ended up matching your 8-6.
But I didn't say I was great.
Anyway,
I never did either.
Shaping up to be our most competitive season ever here in the PFW.
What's the
Progress
reason for that?
Because
Fred's actually hanging.
Andy
3 weeks in, he's
Andy
in the contest.
Andy is on top at 30-16, and then everybody is one game behind. Fred 29-17, Paul 28-18, Tom 27-19.
Has anyone ever blown a 15 in 1 week quicker than Fred Kirsch?
What is that? Has anyone had a 15 in 1 week?
Yeah, I was undefeated last week.
Both of us have gone undefeated.
Yes.
Last year.
That's correct.
So while I may not have had a 15 in 1 week, I had a
15. What did you do the next week?
I went undefeated again.
No, you didn't.
I don't know.
I went 12-4.
I have to go check my notebooks, Freddie. Yeah.
If you guys were so good at picking games, you'd be in Vegas, all right? We're picking, you know.
Oh, this is just picking winners.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not by the spread.
You know, so don't get so high on your horse.
Wait a minute. Who yelled in a dark bus, "Want me to pick your games for you next week? I'm 15-1.
And not only that, but it was about 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. There's people from all different walks of jobs, doctors, all on a bus, and he's yelling about his picks.
Walks of jobs.
Whatever. Walks of jobs.
All right.
Easy week this
Spoken
week.
Spoken almost as eloquently as T.O.'s publicity agent yesterday.
Oh, did you guys get into
a
that?
A man of his statue. Did you hear that? Why would a man of his statue?
I did hear that.
She looked good. She wasn't on drugs or anything.
The most
like
embarrassing
that.
Thing about that thing yesterday was that girl with 25 million reasons.
25 yeah. million reasons to want to be alive.
We can see where her head's at.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
It's okay for me to say dumb stuff. I'm an idiot. I'm not a publicist. She's supposed to know the exact right thing
well,
to say at all times.
That compounds it. That compounds it.
A moron.
It, you know? So.
All right.
You know, the rest of us don't have 25 million, so we should be able to kill ourselves. All right. Let's get to the games. And we'll start, of course, with the 1 o'clock games. This one's for the birds. The Cardinals at the Falcons.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
Remember when Gary actually used to try to get, like, you know, audio for these picks and everything?
And he would say,
now
Fred,
he's playing solitaire.
This is Dennis Green talking about his team's defense. Well, my defense. He always set it up with the exact three words he was going to say.
I think that's why he stopped doing it.
I'm just going to leave the show.
You don't like my information, I'm going home. What was the game again? It was two birds.
It was for the birds. Which birds Arizona were? And Atlanta.
Got Falcons. Screw this.
I thought the Falcons looked hideous. And
screw you guys.
I thought they were one of those examples of how quickly the media, and yes, I'm talking about the media and not including myself, jumps on storylines like, oh, the Falcons finally know how to use Michael Vick, and they got all these creative option plays out of college, and, oh, now they've really got the secret to success.
We're letting Michael Vick be Michael Vick.
And then they go in and lose to the Saints, albeit a fixed game. They played the role of loser in taking the fall all too convincingly for my liking. That said, I think they get after the Cardinals' awful offensive line, get a lot of sacks, and win the game.
2 years ago when the Cardinals went there, Vic had one of his worst performances ever. I remember that game. It's sticking in my head. And
why is
I
that?
Just,
5,000 on that one?
Why did he have a bad game?
No, I was asking why you remember.
Why is it
and
sticking
I,
in your
I was
head?
Thinking the same way Paul was thinking.
I didn't have any money on it. They were just coming from. They were using the Tampa Bay kind of defense where they just came from the outside and kept him in the pocket and forced him to turn the ball over. I think they had like 7 turnovers that day. Denny Green is just so lucky. And he usually, you know how he changed his quarterback, then went back? Those kind of things usually work out for him. And this is the reason why I never win these stupid pick contests, because I'm going to take the Cardinals based on past things that won't happen again, and they'll get beat by 40.
So you think, based on his luck, that Warner throws for about 375?
Yeah, he's just one of them guys that he made fun of Belichick, you know, falling into Brady, but you've never seen a guy fall into more than Denny Green does. So I'll take Arizona with a mild upset.
I'm going to take Atlanta to bounce back after that dismal showing Monday night. I still don't think the Falcons are a great team. I said that last week, but I've been disappointed with Arizona. I thought they'd be a little bit better offensively, and I think Kurt Warner is very, very close, obviously, to riding the pine.
I mean, there was a time when Warner could overcome his interceptions with great play, you know.
Yeah, it was called 1998.
Right.
He's still, I think he was the fastest player ever to get to 20,000 yards.
I mean, he just puts the ball up and he puts it downfield. But it's just too many too many turnovers. I agree with Paul. I think the Falcons will bounce back after last week's dismal showing, and they'll win this game at home. All right, Dallas at Tennessee. Andy.
I'm going to go with Dallas. You know, I know there's some turmoil there. The funniest thing I find about, doesn't T.O. have a broken finger?
Yeah.
And wasn't he supposed to maybe miss like 3 weeks with a broken finger?
He's out there.
Now he has a broken finger and tried to commit suicide or whatever, went to the hospital, and he's out there playing catch, and he thinks he can play this week. Have we forgotten about the broken finger that started all this domino effect of problems to begin with?
In fairness, they didn't rule him out of the Tennessee game right from the start. And they thought that there was a great chance that he'd be back by the Philadelphia game.
The original thing I saw said he was going to be out for Philadelphia, like the day he got hurt. Yeah. Then he said, no, I'll be back for Philadelphia. And then all of a sudden, it's like he's not going to miss anything. But regardless of
Tennessee, but
well, we clearly saw two different reports. Oh, you're calling me a liar. The Cowboys are the better team. I think they have a very good defense, and I think that defense just gets after Tennessee and wins the game easily.
Yeah, I agree. I think if this continues, the Cowboys will start feeling the effects of this somewhere along the season because you can only take so much of the circus and the sideshow. But I agree with Andy. I think they win this on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe closer than some people think because if you ever watch the Cowboys play, they can't blow anybody out, but they should come away with the win.
I think
very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy.
You know, Tennessee, obviously their season is... This is not going to be a good season for Tennessee.
This will probably be the transition game where Vince Young comes in at some point.
Right, I was just going to say, this is kind of that game where you lose this game and you kind of give up on things.
Yeah.
You put in Vince Young, you call it a season, you start thinking about the draft.
I think they called it a season before the season when they realized Billy Volek wasn't the guy and they're signing an old guy off the street to be your starting quarterback right away. I mean, right there, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, it's a bad sign. So you go with Dallas.
Yeah, I'm going to take
Paul. Go with Dallas.
You skipped me, but I'm,
oh,
yeah, I'm going to
go ahead, it. Paul.
That's okay.
Dallas. You got anything to say?
No. I just thought it was funny
how's
that
Drew
you skipped
doing?
Me. Drew played pretty well against Washington,
yeah,
I thought.
He did play well. I'm going to go with Dallas as well. So
that was the one upside of all of this T.O. nonsense is there's been a lot of Drew highlights running constantly on NFL Network.
I mean, how can you put up with that much longer?
Well, that's what Tom said.
He
at some point,
he's
going to have to
be
catch up
in the spotlight.
How can you not put up with
this? Always something. And, you know, everything that happens with T.O., I used to have a friend like this. There was always something bad happening. And there was
got everything. He now has a friend that was like T.O.
There was always an excuse. Always an excuse. But there was always something. And at some point,
That's what I forgot who said it last night. They said, let's not blame this on him. Maybe he had the allergic reaction, blah, blah, blah. But one coach that I think it was Mortensen said one coach I talked to and the reason why they backed off Owens in the offseason was because it's always something.
It's always
whether it's he starts it or not, it's every week you have to be prepared to take on a new thing with this guy, and that's why they didn't want him.
Yeah.
Let me refresh my memory, guys. I heard a lot of people saying, the Cowboys are stuck with him. You know, he's got 20-whatever million left. Wasn't it like
can cut him at the end of the year.
At the end of the year. It's like a one-year deal,
it's
right?
$10 million dollars is all they lose.
I mean, there was a big thing at the beginning of the year. They could have saved $5 or $6 million
if they cut him before the first
before
game.
The season.
Second,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
because he had like a bonus and a salary. And once
but the way that the contract was written, I remembered, it gave him a very logical opportunity each and every year of the deal.
Three one-year deals combined into one.
Right. So, okay. So that's how I remembered it. But I heard that, heard the guys talking yesterday on the on WEI, and, all this stuck with them, and Parcells will have to deal with that, because it doesn't make for a better story, so you can make
them Parcells.
Well,
I just think kind of right now you're stuck with him because you counted on him.
No, he's part of your offense. Yeah,
and
no question. But that's not what they were talking about. They're talking about they can't cut him, for next year because...
No.
Whatever. They're stuck with him for 3 years is basically...
No, I think you're stuck with him
for this
year.
If they were stuck with him, it would be the Cowboys, not Parcells. He just got his house done up in Saratoga. He's retired at the end of the year. Don't let anyone fool you.
Okay. So everyone's taking Dallas. Go on to the Meadowlands, where the Colts are coming into town to play the Jets. Andy?
Colts. Big.
Big, huh?
Put up big, big
Jets are
points
feisty.
On the
they're
Jets.
Playing, they're the New York Cockroaches.
You know that guy that...
They just won't go away.
The guy
back to the cockroach status, Freddie?
Yeah, yeah.
The guy that had the strip sack against Brady has three already this year?
Kerry Rhodes.
Yeah, yeah. Really that's pretty impressive.
One. That's the guy I told you, remember the guy on Felger's show? He has four downs with Felger. He has a guy from the other city come on, and he had someone from Jets Confidential, and he said Kerry Rhodes would be a Pro Bowler.
Well, he was right. I mean, if he keeps on that, if you get 16 strip sacks, my money says he makes the Pro Bowl.
Well, they love running those corner and safety blitz in the, at the Jets. So
clearly Jets Confidential is a little bit better than Patriots Football Weekly, because when we predict our Pro Bowlers out of nowhere, we get guys like Eugene Wilson who go out to have the worst year of their career.
Or Ellis Hobbs.
Benjamin Watson. You know?
All right.
Yeah, I agree with Fred. I think the Jets might make a game of this for a while because they got a little fight in them, and I think they can throw the ball on the Colts, but the Colts got too much offense for that defense.
Yeah, I think the Colts as well. I would be interested to see if how much system-related it is going against that Colts offense.
Because they struggled against the Browns last year
played
them.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll see what Mangini can do with the system without necessarily the talent, and see if that bothers Peyton Manning at all, or if Manning has gotten totally over that based on his performance against the Patriots last year. I don't know, but I'm going to go with the Colts to win the game.
I, too, will go with the Colts. All right, Sunday at 1, Dolphins at Texans.
You know what I found out today that I didn't really know? That David Carr is having a good year to start the year.
They're down 21-0.
He's got like a 115 passer rating.
Great numbers every week.
Seven touchdowns, one pick or something like that. And that's a good start to the year for him.
You got to pick him up for your joke fantasy.
He's not getting sacked a ton either.
I'm sure he's on some fantasy
team. Well, at least he wasn't in the
He's not on a fantasy team?
I don't think so.
Wow. I got two good quarterbacks. Well.
Got Culpepper and Rivers. Rivers doesn't throw a pass, and Culpepper can't complete one.
One of these days,
well put right there.
One of these days, he's going to get hot. I'm going to say this is the week that Dante Culpepper gets hot, going up against the Texans, makes plays, makes a couple with his feet, a couple with his arm. Ronnie Brown gets it going, and that offense puts some points on the board and wins.
Well, Andy Culpepper better hope Andy's right, because if he doesn't get it going this week, Joey Harrington might be starting when they come here. Because this is it. I mean, the Texans are last in every defensive category against the pass, everything. So you would think that they would get it going this week. I'll go with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I agree with Tom. If it doesn't happen, at least show some signs of some offense. If it doesn't happen this week, you really got to wonder how long it's going to take Saban to make a move. And I've been saying right from week one when I saw him against Pittsburgh, I'd have made the move immediately.
Are the Texans the worst team in the NFL?
Oh, no. I don't think so.
Who is?
I got to go Oakland, Tennessee, Green Bay.
Okay.
Worst, all three, in my
opinion. Green Bay's won a couple games.
They've won
one. I'd throw Detroit in there with those three. Would be my four.
He's the best at that. They win one game. Well, they won a couple games.
They won one.
One's a couple now?
Well, they had a good game.
They're trending upward.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the Dolphins as well. I think Houston, despite having all the draft picks that they've had and so on and so forth, they just can't seem to do it. So.
Might be because they don't pick the right people when they have those
picks.
That
could be.
Or could be because we should give Gary Kubiak more than 2 weeks.
it is like a new, you know.
That's true.
Starting
That's
over. True.
Should we ease off the Texans potentially because the NFL fixed the draft and wanted Reggie Bush in New Orleans to have a superstar in that city?
Yeah,
to
you think
around?
That too?
Well, I read something
said that
about
to
it.
Me.
I did. Remember I asked you? I said, Fred, let me ask you. Say, remember when we heard that the Texans were very interested in Mario Williams?
Right.
Do you think maybe the league said, listen, if it comes down to both guys and you're absolutely split, why don't you go with the defensive guy, let Bush go to New Orleans?
We'll make sure.
Not telling them who to draft, but saying if you absolutely can't make up your mind.
And you'll have a Super Bowl in 3 years or whenever the next Super Bowl they can get is.
You know, I can understand why you think that might happen.
Oh, I don't think it
would
happen.
The league would never do that because if that ever got out.
Right.
You know, and in this league, things get out.
I just keep trying to figure out why they didn't take Reggie Bush. And you just had now we're on conspiracy theories. I don't know what to think.
Hey, I watched him, and I haven't gotten a chance to see a lot of Reggie Bush, you know, because for obvious reasons. But Monday night, he had a play in, like, the first quarter. Well, I think he caught a pass on the flat. It might have been just a sweep, and he got around the corner. so fast, and then he got like to the first down marker, and he jumped.
Yeah,
he jumped forward like 3 yards and got like an extra 5 or 6 because he squirted through two guys that were. It was unbelievable.
Well, I had another like, one of those.
Really
one of the ones we talk about.
Great things.
When we saw the tape from USC, and people said, "Oh, you can't hit the hole or whatever."
Hit the hole and whoosh,
it
and
was
like 8 yards.
It was they were driving to get a field goal like a minute left, and yeah, he was 8 yards downfield and literally. Corey Dillon would have been taking the handoff.
That was the drive. I think that
literally.
Was the drive. They got a late field goal in the half. They had
like,
no time to do it either.
By the
I was
way,
like, wow.
I was trying to figure out what is weird about the way Jim Mora looks.
He looks like a shark.
He has no eyelashes.
He has no eye. His eyes are like over on the side.
He doesn't
on his
have
temples.
Eyelashes.
Look at him. He looks
we
like a shark.
Look closely
diddly,
at Jim
Mora.
He has no eyelashes.
Telling you right now, that look. Next time you look at Jim Mora Jr., tell me he doesn't look like a shark.
No. I just couldn't figure out what is.
Tom's got that smirk on his
face.
What
is wrong with this
guy? I don't know what a shark looks like.
What is Jaws?
He has no eyelashes.
Well, if he looks like Jaws, I'll let you know.
All right, still 1 o'clock. I'm taking the Dolphins on that game. Vikings at Buffalo. Vikings coming off a tough loss against the Bears. Vikings are playing well this year.
Good game though. That was a good game. I watched a lot of that game. It was a good defensive game.
Andy.
I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills at home.
Really?
Put up some big offense. I think the Vikings are a fraud team.
Wow, that's a departure from past seasons.
Willis McGahee rushes for a ton of yards. J.P. Lossman doesn't make the mistakes, and they win.
All right.
I'm going to go with the Bills, too. I think
I thought that was going to be a random pick, and now it's 2 for 2.
I think the Bears kind of beat you up when they play you. Now you got to go into Buffalo. As Fred will point out, I'm sure when it's his turn, they play good defense in Buffalo. I think a low-scoring game, so I'm going to go with the home team.
Okay.
I'm not
He
convinced.
May not have eyelashes.
I'm telling you.
Oh, no, Fred's right. Fred's absolutely right. He's got a weird look. I'm not so convinced about Minnesota either, but I think that they're better than Buffalo. I don't know what – maybe I'm just in a minority here. I don't know what I'm missing here. To let the Jets go up and down the field on them the way they did last week, if they're that – maybe I'm wrong. A lot of people share your opinion, Fred. I'll give you that. I'm definitely in the minority when it comes to the talent of the Buffalo Bills defense. I don't see it. I'm going to take Minnesota on the road.
I'm going to take Minnesota as well, despite – thinking that Buffalo has a good defense. I just can't put any faith in J.P. Losman.
Me neither.
I can't do it.
Fortunately, I just hitched my wagon to him.
So I'm going to take the Vikings in that game. Okay, still Sunday at 1. The undefeated New Orleans Saints go to Carolina to play the Panthers. This is a tough pick.
This is a tough pick because when you have the shield on your side setting up games for you, it's
Andy
really
it's
tough
fixed.
To pick
the
Saints
are a shoe-in to win the Super Bowl.
The shield was only
lock.
On the Saints' side for one
lock.
Game.
This is a lock. The Saints will be in the Super Bowl. The Carolina Panthers win this game. They're the better football team, period.
I think they were so high last week emotionally. Now coming back on the short week, this has got Carolina written all over it. They snuck out a game they should have lost last week to send them to 0-3. They'll win this game, go to 2-2, be back in the race. I'll go with the Panthers.
Yeah, I agree with actually a little bit of both. I think the Carolina Panthers are a better team, and I think that emotional letdown after Monday night is also important. So I'm going to take the Panthers.
Absolutely.
And when
I
they
agree.
Force the Panthers, when the Saints force the Panthers to punt on the first series of the game, I don't expect the Panthers pass punt protection to be run towards the sideline and let the guy run right up the middle for the block punt.
I agree. I agree with Tom 100% that
Tom, you know something about fixing sports. Shouldn't they made it a little less obvious?
I don't know if the game was fixed.
It was fixed,
goof.
All right, let's go. Still Sunday at 1. The Chargers at the Ravens.
Chargers at the Ravens. This is
very, very
two good defenses.
Yeah.
I'm going to say two very good defenses, so I'm going to take the better offense and the road team. I'm going to take the San Diego Chargers to win. Phillip Rivers, big test early in his starting career here with the Ravens defense. Good test, I think, for the Chargers on the road to really see where they are. Are they one of the top few teams in the AFC? I think the defense is. We'll see how Rivers responds. But I say he makes enough plays, even though they limit his throws, makes enough plays, and they win.
I really want to take the Chargers here, but as Paul mentioned, they've beaten two of the worst teams in football so far. Now they go on the road. They kind of play in a different animal. If this game was in San Diego, I'd probably be enough for me to take them. The only thing that worries me is I hope that the Ravens don't use too much 46 against them, because with Gates and Tomlinson coming out of the backfield, they'll get that one-on-one matchup. But, you know, obviously if this game, whoever scores 10 points wins, right. I'll say that the Ravens score 10 and the Chargers score 9.
And, Paul, you might get your wish this week to make you right about your little Steve McNair thing. Lights out might turn out the lights on Steve McNair for a couple weeks.
Well, to be honest with you, I've been thoroughly unimpressed with Steve McNair through three games offensively. I see the same offense that I've seen from the Baltimore Ravens. The defense is better than it has been in the last year or two for the Ravens. It's playing exceptionally well. That said, to kind of build on Tom's point, I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say San Diego. But the reason is I think Baltimore has played bad teams. I think they played Cleveland, and they were life and death to win that game. They played Oakland, who I think we all agree is one of the worst couple of teams. You know, a good win at Tampa Bay to open the season, although what they... I was going to say, what they've done since, to use Fred's theory, they're 0-3. So I'm not impressed with the Ravens yet. This might be Paul's stubbornness at work here.
You're stubborn?
Absolutely. I'm as stubborn as they come. But I like the Chargers in this game. But it will be a low-scoring game. I agree with Andy and Tom on that.
I'm going to go with the Chargers as well in this game.
Oh, all three, you're taking Phillip Rivers on the road against that Ravens defense.
I just think the Ravens run for a little while's over, you know. So, so I'll go with the Chargers. Sunday at 1, this is a little tougher game to pick than it looks like. San Francisco at Kansas City.
San Francisco at Kansas City. Yeah, their offense is making plays in San Francisco.
It is a tough game to
pick. And the Chiefs aren't making plays. And Damon Hewitt's still the quarterback, right? Kansas City?
I believe he will still be a quarterback, yes.
Okay, I'm going to say San Francisco puts up enough points to win this game. I think their offense is developing into quite a little system out there with the quarterback. Still not totally sold on this whole Frank Gore's a superstar, catching the ball, rushing the ball, all that.
Well, he's questionable. He's got bad ribs.
The quarterback from Penn State's going to play at running back. Good luck with that.
Is he?
Yeah.
Frank Gore's not playing?
Well, he's questionable. I don't know if he's playing or not.
Do they lie about their injury report? Are they truthful? How do I read that one?
It's Herm Edwards.
Huh?
Oh, San Francisco.
Hello.
I'll stick with the Niners.
It's Mike.
Because I don't think either team is very good right now.
Yeah, I can't take San Francisco and Kansas City. I mean, that great offense they have was down 31-0 in the third quarter to the Eagles before they stopped playing.
The Eagles are a way better team than the Chiefs.
You know, the Chiefs defense played pretty good against Denver, you know, the team that came in here and racked up 400 yards of total offense. But I think it'll be a close game. I'm just going with the Chiefs at Arrowhead because it's tough for me to take the 49ers in that kind of environment yet until I see them win a big game.
I can't really argue with anything that Tom just said, but even despite that, I'm going away from my theory of two bad teams, take the home team. I'm going to go with San Francisco because I just think Kansas City is in a lot of trouble right now. Without Trent Green, I don't think they score enough points to win the game.
I, too, will go with Kansas City.
I thought it was going to be 3-1 there, Niners. I was going to be shocked.
Yeah, that would be three big games that I would be down 3-1 with the Chargers. I wouldn't have expected either one of those.
But there's no doubt this is a tough game. You just don't know if San Francisco has it yet, and you don't know how bad Kansas City is so far. I mean, they're 0-2. They're going to get off the schneid.
Even though Kansas City stinks, this would be a good win for San Francisco in their rebuilding project if they can go there and win.
Yeah.
It's a tough place to win. I'm not feeling good about that. It's a tough place to go on the road and win.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Chiefs. All right, that's it for the 1 o'clock games. When we come back, we'll look at the Lions at the Rams.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We live these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points.
extra points card and free three championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots extra points because fans want contact too. Autograph quick limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're going around the NFL. We just finished up on the 1 o'clock games. Now we're at the 4 o'clock games. And we left off with the Lions at the Rams. Mike Martz returns to St. Louis. Will it be a victorious return?
No. I'm going with the Rams. I changed my pick. Even though I want Kevin Jones to roll for my fantasy purposes, I really, really wanted to support Rod Marinelli heading into the season. I liked his edge. I liked his kind of leather jacket at the combine, old school, tough guy. Apparently it's not working.
Andy likes the guy based on his jacket that he wore at the combine.
Yeah, I did. But apparently
that's
it's not working.
That's what makes Andy Hart the greatest.
And I don't think they can go into too many places and win football games on the road. I think they're going to struggle to win some games at home. So hopefully they lose to the Rams, but Kevin Jones rushes for $175 with three scores.
Well, I don't think Rod Marinelli can coach at all, and I'll tell you why. Two people thought he could, Matt Millen and Andy Hart. And I don't have respect for what either of those two people have to say. The Rams are playing well on defense. They got those new guys in, Chavis, Witherspoon, their draft pick, Ty Hill. They've been playing really well on defense, and they look like a team that might be one of those surprise teams this year, so I'll go with them at home.
Ty Hill's playing well? Because isn't that the guy we wanted?
He's playing.
Didn't we like him?
Huh?
Didn't we like him
we
here?
We really liked him.
As a possibility at corner here?
Yeah. He's a Clemson kid, right?
Yeah,
we loved him.
Ty with an E, right?
Yep.
We loved him. I'm going to take the Rams, too, and I'm not exactly sure why, other than to say the Tom Casale theory here. Every year there's a team that you just can't pick, and Detroit's that team for me. And I am not going to pick for them unless I can really, really help it the rest of the way. I don't understand what that team is all about. I mean, I can't put a read on them. They look decent at times, and other times they look just absolutely horrible, like last week against Green Bay, knocking me out of the knockout pool.
Yeah, I mean, I've picked the Lions. I thought they'd finally be a good team. They screw me every week. I'm going to pick the Rams, and I guarantee you the Lions are going to win. But I am going to pick the Rams. All right, Sunday, 4:15, the Browns at the Raiders.
The Browns.
The Browns.
Because I like Romeo Crennel, and I think the Raiders
stick. Because the Raiders are terrible.
Yeah, this game will probably end up being close, but I'm going to go with Cleveland because I just can't pick the Raiders right now until they show me something.
I'll tell you, I'm just channeling Tom today.
Yeah.
I can't put it any better.
Well, how can you pick the Raiders? I mean, really.
You can't, but I mean, you can't.
Goes, I'll take the Raiders.
But I took Cleveland last week, and you know, I wouldn't really feel confident in picking Cleveland too many more times either.
Well, I just can't pick the Raiders, so I'll go with the Browns. So everyone's going with the Browns. Okay, 4:15, Jaguars at Redskins.
This is an interesting game. Jaguars at the Redskins. I will take the Jaguars to get after Mark Brunell. I really think Mark Brunell is the downfall of that team. I don't care about 22 straight anything. I think he stinks. I think I know it's hard because they're trying to be good, and they think he's the veteran. But make the change. Go to Jason Campbell, or if he's not the guy, do whatever. I just think they're treading water right now with a guy like Mark Brunell. He's not going to win games for you in the postseason with 36 yards passing. So find out if you have your quarterback of the future. Otherwise, I think you're going to continue to waste seasons. So I'll take the physical play of the Jaguars defense to shut down the Redskins, control the game, and I don't think they'll have to score too many points to win.
Tom C.
I'm going to take the Jaguars because they're a good AFC team, and I still think that's the better conference. But I'm a little bit worried. Actually, I'm a lot worried that this is going to be an emotional letdown game for them because they played three games that they were really up for. They dominated the Colts in every statistical category last week and came up short. But I feel this might be that game where they just don't have it in the tank and don't show up, but I'm going to take them anyway.
Andy, did you take Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to take Jacksonville, too. Again, Tom, I just think they're a better team. That AFC team, you know, if this was in Jacksonville, it would be a landslide. My one fear would be going on the road and, you know, getting into some trouble. But I like the Jags in this game. I think that they've actually proven, I think, all of us wrong because I think we all felt they were a pretty good team last year but not as good as their record. Well, they're showing me that they're maybe a little bit better than we thought they were last year.
Because they laid an egg here in front of us. That's why.
But even before that game, none of us really thought that they were going to
get the Patriots.
Yeah,
no one kind of took them seriously.
Yeah.
They had an easy
schedule.
The
Patriots dumped to get the opportunity to play them. You know, I don't think any of us really thought they were that good, 12-4. I don't think we thought they were that good.
I think their defense is
Del Rio.
They're a pretty physical team, and I like them against Washington in this game. I think they'll be fine. I didn't see that. Can you guys fill me in on the second half? I know that in the first half of that Jags-Colts game, the Jags killed Indianapolis, and if not for the punt return, they would have had a 7-0 lead. But I thought in the second half that the Colts kind of turned around because they ended up going up 21-7.
Yeah, they got a little passing. They didn't do anything on the ground. Manning didn't have a great game. I really don't know what happened because Jacksonville had like 200 yards on the ground. That was just one of those games. You look at the stats and you look at the score and things don't add up. So I'm guessing there was a couple of balls on the ground. Maybe
didn't they have three turnovers?
What's his face have a long run? Maurice Jones Drew, whatever he goes by nowadays.
Yeah, he bounced off some guy in and kept going.
Leftwich fumbled twice and lost it and threw an interception.
He had, Leftwich had a bad game, no doubt about that.
Let's see. Okay, so that's that game. I'm going to go with the Jaguars.
Okay.
By the way, we'll skip the Patriots game, which is 4:15. Why? I don't know.
why else?
What we do.
No, why it can't be a 1 o'clock game.
Oh.
And we'll go to Sunday night, 8:15, football in America. The Seahawks at Chicago.
Good game that we'll see none of because we'll be on a plane flying
back. This
is
a very interesting
matchup. Fortunately, because I really would like to see, and again, it depends on the Sean Alexander. Did God really heal him or is he out?
I don't think he's playing.
Whatever. So that obviously hurts their offense, but he hasn't been off to a great start anyway, and they've been putting up a lot of points without him.
Matt Hasselbeck, good quarterback.
Matt Hasselbeck, all the weapons he has on offense that, you know, allow him to be that good. You know, they add Deion Branch. He should be better. And then obviously on the other side, you got the Bears defense that is more Del Rio than Jacksonville's will ever be. And I think they're a good team. I'd love to see this game. I'm going to go with the home. It's in Chicago, right?
It is.
I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to say the Bears win this. They score enough points, and I think the defense wins the game by holding Seattle in check. I don't think they're a tough team. I think Chicago knocks them around and physically dominates.
I think Chicago's a pretty good team, too. What kept them so close to Minnesota?
That's how they play.
Yeah.
I don't think
they're going to win a lot of 35-3 games. I mean, just that's the nature of your team.
Yeah, they're always kind of like in those games that are close.
They don't. Yeah,
I saw the Patriots go dominating 14-2 and win games like by 3 and 7 points that I said were over in the first quarter. Right?
Who's God healing? What's going on? Who's God healing?
Sean Alexander's prayed and said his broken foot or whatever is healed.
Yeah, you know, I heard he's a little not right in the head. The one thing I like with the Seahawks in this game is that they'll be forced to throw the ball, and I think that's how you beat the Bears. The problem is, though, they don't throw it deep a lot. They kind of throw the shorter routes. I think that plays into the Bears' hands without a running game to really worry about. I think the Chicago defense dominates. Another low-scoring game. The Seattle defense keeps them in it. One of Fred's boys' field goal, kicks a field goal at the end, 16-13 Bears.
Well, I heard if you got him on your fantasy team, pick him, which is the backup running back for Seattle. I hear he's not too bad. And he could
Maurice Morris?
Yeah. And he could have a big game this
week. Where do you hear stuff?
But you know what, though? I love how everybody...
That's what I hear.
But you know what I love?
It's on the chat rooms for the fantasy football leagues.
I love how if Maurice Morris, we'll be okay. We'll just go four wides. We'll be okay. We're 3-0. Sean Alexander hasn't had that great of a year. You know what? If he's not that important, then take back his MVP trophy and give it to Carson Palmer or somebody. Because I'm sick of hearing about how this team's they're not going to miss a beat. He's Sean Alexander. He's the reigning
MVP.
Smith
should have been the MVP.
Well, plus the other thing that irritates
Carolina,
me about that.
It's shown what he does for that team.
It's so short-sighted to say, well, Alexander hasn't done that much and the offense has still been great. Well, how do you think the defense is approaching the Seattle offense?
The receivers are wide open.
Sean Alexander? Yeah.
But Fred's here, and they'll be fine with Maurice Morris. I
didn't say that to say that Fred's wrong about Maurice
Morris. No, I'm just making fun of Fred.
You know, okay, so maybe the guy had 1,800-plus yards last year, and he's off to a little bit of a slow start. But do you think that opposing defenses might go into the game and say, we got to make sure we stop Sean Alexander? Or do you think they're worrying about Matt Hasselbeck in the West Coast offense?
Right.
They're worried about Alexander. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you have to take away what you think is the strength.
One side note before you pick Paul, did you happen to see that Mike Holmgren commented on China? Exact opposite of Bill Belichick. You know, I've been
bastards.
With teams before when we've traveled to Germany and to Europe, and it's a great experience to bring the players places they've never been, and it's a great team building experience, and I really think it's a great thing.
Team building?
He alluded to that it can help.
I've heard the Colts say the exact opposite, but it took them 2 weeks to get back
after Japan.
Yeah, after they went to Japan.
I think Mike Holmgren's just playing the good soldier and doing what he thinks the owner wants to hear.
I'm going to take the Bears in this game,
too. Question Buckets kissing.
I wish that we could see this game, though, Fred. I think it would be a good one to watch. I loved Lovie Smith's comments last week after the Minnesota game. He was talking about we had our opportunity last year. Everybody was saying how Seattle, you know, was waiting to play the Chicago Bears in the playoffs, and he said, unfortunately, we dropped the ball and we didn't show up for the game, you know, because they lost in the playoffs before they got a chance to go to Seattle. And now this is our opportunity to play against Seattle and kind of judge where we are. The Seahawks are the defending conference champs and blah, blah, blah. I like the way Chicago plays. I got a chance to watch a lot of this game that's on NFL Network right now, the replay. And they play a very, very physical style. And I agree with Tom and Andy, that West Coast offense, when you're doing a lot of quick slants, they have a swarming defense. They get a lot of guys around the football, and I think even on completions, you see them getting a lot of helmets on the football and causing turnovers, and I think that could happen with Seattle's receivers, and it would be interesting to see if Deion Branch is one of those getting whacked around a little bit. I like Chicago in this game.
I do, too. I like Chicago. I'm more and more worried about that game when they come here. And I, you know, despite what Paul says, I think Rex Grossman's a pretty good quarterback. So I'm going to go with Chicago. All right, Green Bay, Monday night at the Eagles.
Green Bay at Philadelphia.
That's an easy one. I'll take the Eagles big.
Don't ask Tom. We already know. Paul.
Yeah, I think Andy's right. The only fear that you would have here is that it's a Monday night game and, you know, Brett Favre has, you know, some out-of-body experience
on Monday
night.
That's exactly why I think he's going to really, you know, what the bet.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, his emotion can't match his ability anymore.
This is at Philly.
Sugar
again.
Honey Iced Tea.
Yeah, they've really killed Green Bay the last couple times they've come there.
Sugar Honey Iced Tea.
I like Philly big.
All
right.
The bed. And Sugar Honey Iced Tea, the bed?
Right. So I'm going to go with the Eagles as well. They're rolling.
What happened to Dante Stallworth? He was inactive?
Hamstring.
Yep.
Oh, that's not good.
He
for
has,
him.
You know, Tom tells you that all the time. Going
no,
back
I know.
College.
Chronic hamstring
chronic
problem,
hamstring.
But
that's not good.
Okay, let's get back to the Patriots game. Sunday at 4:15 in Cincinnati, Paul Brown Stadium. Andy?
As I said earlier in the show, there are ways the Patriots can win this game. There are a number of them. But I just don't see how anyone can honestly believe that the Patriots are going to win. I don't know how you can think there's a better chance that the Patriots win than the Bengals. You know, I think turnovers are going to be the key to the game. I think the one way the Patriots can stay in the game is turnovers. We saw last week that the Bengals are susceptible to turnovers. Carson Palmer put the ball on the ground a couple times, throws a couple interceptions. So I legitimately think that if they can get back on the turnover wagon, that they can do it. But they haven't done that, so I have no reason to believe they're going to.
Right.
Maybe they'll run the ball. Maybe that'll keep the Bengals off the field. I think the Bengals can have three possessions, score 21 points, and this game might be over. So I think the Bengals roll at home. I just, you know, you talked about Brett Favre. The one fear is that he has one of his old school games. I think it's the same fear for the Bengals. The one fear is that the Patriots rally and Rodney Harrison's all happy. I don't think it's going to happen with Brett Favre. I don't think it's going to happen with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Bengals big.
Yeah.
Okay, good point. Is Cincinnati good offense?
Yes.
Dangerous offense, swarming defense.
Yes.
Poor old Patriots got no chance. Not so fast, my friend. Tom Brady, the passing game, the running. Forget about it, baby. The Bengals big. They blow them out. 41-3, Bengals.
Wait, who do you?
I'm Bengals? Picking the Bengals.
He wanted to fool us a little bit. But.
Oh, I didn't know.
What a fraud he is.
To be honest with you, I didn't know where the hell he was going
the
with that.
No, that's what Corso does. He'll go, okay, you got that. And then it'll go, more Patriots. You're going into Cincinnati. Their secondary doesn't have a prayer. The front seven would have to dominate. They'd have to sack Palmer 4 to 5 times in this game. If they don't, it's lights out.
Well, I think I'm going to make it 3 for 3. Unless the Patriots' running game can resemble the one that we saw in the first two games and not the one we saw last week, I really don't see the Patriots matching Cincinnati score for score.
And even if they do resemble that, I still think it'd be tough. But keep going.
I do. Right. I agree with you.
It did resemble that in the first two games, and they barely beat the Jets and Bills. And I think the Bengals are far and away better than those
teams.
Didn't
pile up a lot of points in doing it.
Right.
And, you know, and it's one thing to be methodical and play keep away, but you have to get in the end zone at the end. You can't be kicking field goals. They were able to get touchdowns.
Well, they can't do that either.
And they were able to get touchdowns against the Bills and the Jets, but, you know, Cincinnati's opportunistic defense kind of – I don't think it's that great of a defense, but I do think that they play you to make a mistake. It's almost like if we can keep you on the field for 10 or 12 plays,
yeah, they don't
we'll
really
turn
care
you over.
If you move the ball.
Yeah,
some.
We'll turn
They're
you
just
over.
Waiting.
Well, they also don't care if you, you know, put an 8-minute drive together and rush down the field and score a touchdown. We'll score ours in 35 seconds. They don't care. So even if you are scoring,
right.
They might be scoring in their limited time. So I
agree with Andy.
Tough matchup.
I do think there are ways the Patriots can win this game. I don't think it's a completely hopeless situation, but based on the first 3 weeks, I think Cincinnati is a better team, and I'm going to go with them at home.
Yeah, now.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
You know, I like to
roll.
I like
hey,
the,
Gary, notice I still have my notebook open.
They're guaranteed to win. I predicted a massacre, and Fred's got the I'm picking the Bengals look on his face.
No, you know, I like to look at little things that kind of give me the tip. Today in Bill Belichick's press conference, he was very loose, fooling around. Now, usually when
kinda
he does
like
that,
week.
It means he kind of knows something. He's very confident going into the game. However, and so I was leaning toward that, but however, I think this week, the reason he's doing that is just to try to loosen up his own team.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he realizes this is going to be a tough game. There's a good chance we're going to lose this, but I don't want these guys thinking that it's the end of the world. And, you know, we're going to live beyond this game. So I'm going to pick the Bengals in this game.
Wow.
You know, obviously, we all hope we're wrong, correct? Isn't that correct? We all hope.
Well, you
except
know my
for Randy.
You know my theories on these things. I'd rather
I'm
be right.
As far as you know.
Do you
I'm
know that
stunned.
Emailer that wrote in about how
from last year
so
at Denver?
You picked against the Patriots, and somebody has been, like, thinking about this for,
all
like,
year. That was
8
one of my,
months.
One of
I still got 8
thinking
minutes,
about it when I was out the door.
What?
You're wrapping it up. We still got 8 minutes.
Well, we're done.
So, someone is that upset with Andy that they can't
they've
stop
been worrying about it for a year.
No, so
this is killing Fred. We can see it in his face.
I've been looking for reasons to pick the Patriots all week. I got to
be honest with you.
I can't
come
up with it.
What I was figuring was do the Patriots have a chance? And we'd all say, yeah, they have a chance.
I don't
well, as long as they have a chance, I'm going to pick the Patriots. That's what I was waiting for with you.
Well, I mean, I looked at that injury report. Now, unless they're just outright lying.
See, the injury report doesn't have anything to do with my prediction.
Well, it does.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's irrelevant.
I mean, it just compounds it. I think they'd have
trouble with the rosters.
I think they'd have trouble with the four receivers of Cincinnati anyway, but with guys knocked up in the back. In the defensive backfield.
Harrison's pregnant?
I just can't see. I just can't. You know, Harrison's got probably, what, 70% of his speed? And when he was healthy, he's not that fast.
Right.
You know, Brewski, you know, coverage. How much are you going to use him in
accidentally,
coverage?
You make a good point, Fred. guys, this team, this Bengals team has so much speed.
Right.
And now we're going to see Harrison maybe matched up in coverage. We're going to see Brewski in coverage, and that's where they can take advantage of him.
Right.
They have to cover somebody.
And it's not going to be snowing. Yeah. They're not going to have the Patriots painted green field that they have. It's on turf. It's all speed.
You know, Hobbs is supposedly banged up. I don't know how Eugene Wilson banged up. Artrell Hawkins, who knows if he's going to play.
40-mile-an-hour wind.
Actually, they have grass now, don't they?
No, it's field turf.
Is it field turf?
Yeah.
You know, Gay's out for the season now. I mean, here we go again with the Patriots' defensive backfield. And this is not the game to be hurting back there.
Right.
So, you know, like Paul said, you know, unless the only chance they have is if they can play ball control football, run it down their throats.
And pressure Palmer and see if he's still not completely healthy. You know, get around those legs.
Well,
and,
you know, I think Pittsburgh did a pretty good job at that.
Yeah, and if they didn't turn the ball over, they would have won. So I think if you can do that and then protect the ball, you can win.
Right.
Yeah, I think turnovers are the key. I really
I think
I don't think if the Patriots, if they can't create any turnovers, they can't win this
does
game.
Does anybody, though...
Even if they run the ball, I don't think
they Does anybody got a feeling in their gut, though, that the Patriots are just, the way this team is going this year, they're just setting them, they're just due to get whooped? You know what I mean? Like, with all the emotion, with all the problems and all this, the Branch and the Brady and this and that, they're just due to go to Cincinnati and just get absolutely taken out. That's just the feeling I get. Like,
then they'll bury the ball and turn it around and make a nice story?
Well, that's what would happen. Because
saith Fred.
I still say that this is going to be a good year for the New England Patriots.
It's off to a great start.
What, not necessarily looking for an argument here, Fred, but what would you consider a great year?
Deep in the playoffs. I mean...
So was last year a great year?
No.
Okay. Then I don't think this is going to be a great year.
Weren't they like a fumble away from hosting the AFC Championship?
So they have to be in the AFC Championship for...
Now, if you consider last year fine, which is... I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think that was a pretty good year for the team.
Yeah, it was a pretty good year.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's any... I don't want to get spoiled to the point where... Going 10-6, winning your division, winning a round of the playoffs, and being very competitive in the next round is a bad year. I don't want to get to that point where I'm so spoiled that I feel like that. But if you think that that was a bad year, that I don't think this is right now, I don't think this is going to be any better than last year.
Right. Plus, they didn't even really go 10-6. They were 11-5 if they wanted to be. They didn't want to be.
Somebody writes in, he says, you guys are so very optimistic. Could it be Patriots Radio? A little sarcasm as no one tells the truth anymore, and it is still a cheapo football team. I know all of you believe Brady is at his because we aren't winning press conference. What? I know you all believe Brady at his because we aren't winning press conference. I don't. We have one of the best, if not the best, QB in the NFL. We surround him with second-rate receivers and a 5'10", 35-year-old. The Patriots have become one-dimensional. People are going to tee off on the running game and Brady. Why they have done that is beyond me, I guess, being cheap. Every year it is Belichick in the front office with some major distracting issue, nothing like going back to the Joe Cap days. Last year and before, there was never a time I can remember where the Patriots never thought they were out of the game, even in the last 2 minutes. Brady wasn't down at all then, and we were always waiting for them to pull it out. Now they can't, and we won't. Once behind, the Pats can't win 9-7, 8-8, or 10-6, 9-7.
All right, but they got blown out a bunch of times last year. San Diego blew them out. The Colts blew them out. The Broncos blew them out.
Plus, they've already come back once this year.
Panthers game wasn't all that.
No, and neither was the Kansas City game.
No.
So, will we rattle off six?
Yeah, they got blown
out. Losses basically. But that's generally been the calling card for the Patriots with Brady. Is if it's close, the Patriots win.
Right.
The losses have been, you know, pretty lopsided.
Yeah. John Rook's here because he's got a show that follows us, Patriots Playbook, at 2 o'clock.
Oh, we'll be happy to know that we all picked the Bengals.
That's a shock. Fred, you picked the Bengals?
Fred.
I did.
See?
It was a shock.
Oh, it was unanimous. Shock to all of us.
I have to admit.
That's a bit of a shock.
Has anybody picked the Patriots in all honesty today? Is anybody? Anybody?
Not even Mike Reese.
Really?
Well, so, James in Roanoke Rapids said there's a chance.
24-17, James in Roanoke Rapids.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
Well, usually, if there's a chance, I pick the Patriots. And I think there's a chance, but it's not that good a chance.
It's a very small chance. And it would have to be a perfect set of circumstances, and every one of those things would have to fall the Patriots' way,
right. Which
we all know is darn near unlikely. You know, to happen in a game like that. It's just a horrible, horrible matchup.
It is.
It's a tough matchup.
At this point in the year, absolutely it is. So,
you know, I mean, I wish you could be a little bit more optimistic about it. And as we know, you got to play the game. It could very well mean that, hey, this will be a real barn burner. We'll be talking about this game, you know, for weeks to come. It could very well be that kind of game. If Cincinnati allows Carson Palmer to get hammered like that offensive line has done over the last, 3 weeks, the Patriots can put pressure on it, and in theory, that takes a little bit of the pressure off of your secondary. And those, 6'8", 250-pound receivers, as everybody seems to think they are, can't do as much damage as they could if Palmer had the time to throw, right?
Yeah.
It's
good week for the 46 defense.
Be a very good week.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I think an interesting matchup is Vince Wilfork on their backup center. Because if you can get pressure from a place where you don't necessarily expect it all the time, your nose tackle, that can make things happen. Makes him step up. Maybe he steps into a Roosevelt Colvin who hasn't been great off the edge. If you can get some pressure without having to send extra guys, obviously, that could be a difference maker. Maybe Wilford can really have an impact.
Could be an important game, too, down the road. Obviously, it's very early. But last year, one of the things that kind of hurt the Patriots down the stretch was that, they had lost to all the conference teams. They had lost to Denver, San Diego. The only team that they had beaten was Pittsburgh. And so that kind of like put them behind the eight ball in terms of chasing the bye and stuff like that. They didn't really have a realistic chance for that. They lost to Denver already. Now this could be another conference team playoff kind of team in Cincinnati. That you're dropping behind, not only in record, but in tiebreaker.
Talking playoffs?
All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow.
John, who you got coming up today?
I don't know. Who do I have coming up today, Gary?
Baxter.
Baxter!
Yeah!
I don't speak
Very
Spanish.
Nice.
Brian Lowe's going to be on the show.
No, he's on Tuesday.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.